Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a lively Friday. In Los Angeles, this is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. We're live in Los Angeles, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1, different shades of blue, supporting America. Joy Taylor is joining me. You've got the beautiful, almost light blue.
Yeah, it's like a summer blue, I guess.
Yes, I've got the denim blue. We are supporting America, the United States Women's National Team, in a few hours. Takes on France and will be one of the most watched women's national team games in the history of the country.
Yeah, I'm very excited for this.
So am I. So yesterday, the last hour of our show, crazy time. It was great. Joy and I's, you know, favorite kind of show. Just breaking news.
Yeah, just live TV going off the rails.
Yes, it was just absolutely wonderful. And so I wake up this morning and here's the various reports we're hearing. One report says that the Lakers, Kawhi is their first choice and Kyrie is their second choice. That's what we said at the end of yesterday's show. We said we absolutely believe Kawhi Leonard. That's what I've been told. What they want to get is Kawhi Leonard. Second is Kyrie. That's not my second. That's their second. Third is Butler. Fourth is D'Angelo Russell. Now, there's other reports saying this morning if they can't get Kawhi Leonard or Kyrie Irving, they're just going to throw a bunch of stuff together with that $32 million. But I thought this morning what is interesting, and this is where it's fun to be a sportscaster and hopefully fun to be a viewer or a listener, there are five different scenarios going forward to play with LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyle Kuzma. And each has a completely different feel to them. Each would have a different vibe. And I thought, I'm going to give you the five scenarios, give each one kind of a moniker or a name, and what I think they would be. So let's start with the first. This, I think, would be the best team. It would be Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, and the very talented young player Kyle Kuzma. Let's call this team NBA champions. This would be the greatest collection of talent ever. Kawhi Leonard's arguably the best player in the game. If he's not, LeBron is. And Anthony Davis is the most skilled big, and Kuzma's a terrific young player. You'd have, with no KD in the league next year, three of the top five players. I don't think you'd need an incredibly deep bench. It would have on its best nights an unfair feeling. Tyson in his prime, Tiger in his prime, the Warriors' first 2 years with KD, where you kind of felt like, okay, they're in the finals. Everybody's crossing their finger for a twisted ankle. This, I think, is the best possible team. I don't think it's going to happen, but I would call that team NBA champs. The second team is Kyrie Irving, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and Kyle Kuzma. I would call that the Drama Kings. I think they would, on their best nights, be the most offensively brilliant. I don't think they'd be as good defensively. LeBron's not the defensive player he used to be, and Kyrie doesn't like to defend. I think they would be very good. I don't think this is a sustainable unit for more than a year or two max. Kyrie Irving has bailed on Brad Stevens. He's bailed on LeBron. He'll choose the Nets over the Knicks. He's a hard guy. I just had a conversation with two NBA guys two nights ago, and they love Kyrie, and they're flummoxed by him. I would call this the Drama Kings. The third team is Jimmy Butler, plus LeBron, plus Anthony Davis, and Kyle Kuzma. I would call this team Dynamite. Athletically dynamic, emotionally dynamite, as in implosion. Jimmy Butler and Kyle Kuzma, I think, would struggle. Kuzma wants to be Jimmy Butler. Jimmy Butler's going to try to fend off Kyle Kuzma. You'd have four essential forwards and no guards. I don't think the chemistry would be great. I do think defensively it would be excellent because I think Kawhi Leonard's going to take his 15 games off a night and Jimmy Butler won't. I think on a nightly basis, they would be the most consistently stellar defensive unit. AD, Butler, and Kuzma, I think, are excellent defensive players. And in spots, LeBron can be. But again, Jimmy Butler, a third scoring option. This is team dynamite because they would be athletically dynastic, but they would implode. The fourth is the D'Angelo Russell, LeBron, AD, Kuzma team. I would call this the redeem team. D'Angelo Russell back to L.A. to redeem himself. LeBron James redeeming himself after a bad first year in L.A. Anthony Davis proving once and for all he can be a go-to guy past the first round in the playoffs. And Kyle Kuzma showing everybody, hey, I was the right guy of all the young guys to keep. I would call this the redeem team. And then finally, the fifth team. This would be LeBron, AD, Kuzma, and a collection of Darren Collison, J.J. Redick, Bogdanovich. I would call this team the Lakers because this is the team's history. Two stars, an emerging star or very good player, and then excellent role players. This is what won a title for Wilt and Jerry West. This is what won a title for Shaq and Kobe, several. This Kareem, Magic, several years later, James Worthy, very good role players. This feels like the Lakers I have watched my entire life. You've got two of the top players in the league, one very noteworthy, a Wilt, a Shaq, a Kobe, a Magic, and then another all-time great. And then you have one, a Worthy, a Kuzma, of an emerging excellent player, and then role players that are very redeemable, very sustainable, understand their role, don't shrink in the moment, have a history of hitting big shots, your Robert Horry's, your Derek Fisher's, your Rick Fox's, Byron Scott's. That team, to me, is the most sustainable. Just enough egos, not too many players that come to the arena every night, no load management, guys that want to play, half the team hungry, trying to get a first ring. Two or three of the guys already have a ring. So in review, we go from the NBA champs, the drama kings, Team Dynamite, the redeem team, and finally the Lakers. There's only two that I really, really feel strongly about. The Kawhi Leonard team, I think of all those at its best, there's never been anything quite like it. And this team, the Lakers, which is the history of the franchise I've seen. Egos, but not too many mouths to feed, not too many press conferences, not too much drama. So that this morning is where we're at. I will say there is a development happening, and it is like I'm not supposed to root, right? There are individual athletes, and a lot of it's just theater and playful. I love Tom Brady. I love the way he wakes up in the morning. It's football and family. Obviously, I think LeBron's been very valuable to my show, the great Swiss Army knife of my life in basketball. No player's ever done more at the top level. I love the NFL. I love the NBA. So those guys have really been a part of my show for over 10, 12 years, almost every day, certainly every week.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
I am not supposed to root, but I live in Los Angeles. I know people who work for the Clippers. And Kawhi Leonard now will interview with the Lakers as well as the Clippers and the Raptors. This, of course, is the Clippers' worst nightmare. The Clippers all year have done everything right. It was the most overachieving team in the league. The front office, you got Ballmer, the energetic, semi-young owner, very pro player. You got Jerry West, the logo, the icon. Michael Winger, Lawrence Frank, smart young analytic guys. Everybody gets along in the organization. The players are, you know, you got your Lou Williams, your old guys. Everybody likes the players. You had the best bench in the NBA. You overachieved, beat the Warriors twice when they were healthy. They've done everything right. The Lakers, meanwhile, have been an utter tire fire for a year. And the Lakers now will get an interview with Kawhi Leonard. A, it's the power of the big brand, but it would be an absolute gut punch for the Clipper franchise. It would be a gut punch. They have done everything right, recruiting him for a year. They went to his games in Toronto, making sure he could spot them. You know what this is? This is potentially the Ray Allen shot of free agency. Remember that?
James catches, puts up a three. Won't go. Rebound, Bosch. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds remaining.
The Spurs led the series 3-2. Champagne was on ice. Security had the ropes out. Goggles were ready. Spurs led by five with 20 seconds left. They had been the better team in the series. The trophy was in the building, and Ray Allen hits a three. Pump the brakes. We're going to overtime. Miami rebounds and wins the series. San Antonio never recovered from that shot. They never recovered. I don't know how the Clippers recover. Somebody joked yesterday on Twitter, maybe Steve Ballmer just goes and takes the franchise back to Seattle. Never forget this. With the Red Sox lost to the Mets, remember the Bill Buckner era, the late Bill Buckner, 86, Red Sox didn't recover for 20 years. The next year, the Red Sox were below 500. They emotionally could not recover from that moment. The Spurs could not emotionally recover from that moment. I think this would be such an awful emotional kick to the you-know-whats. And I'll tell you about Kawhi Leonard. I want you to think about this for a second. He is the most unique player in my life. Think about this. If Kawhi chose the Lakers over the Raptors and the Clippers, he would have destroyed in his career the Spurs dynasty by leaving, the Heat dynasty, fourth year, became the MVP, the Warriors dynasty this year, the Raptors future, and the Clippers soul. He's the Thanos of the NBA. He literally is. He would have just crushed all these teams. The Clippers' soul, the Warriors' dynasty, the Raptors' future, Popovich's 20-year run, and the Miami guys' dynasty.
Yeah, and Thanos didn't have a whole lot to say either, so they've got a lot in common.
He spoke volumes in very few words. I would ideally, living in Los Angeles and knowing people in both organizations, I would like to see the Clippers get Kawhi and the Lakers do the LeBron, AD, Kuzma collection of cool veterans, a Raptor feel to it where I got a lot of Lowry's and Serge Ibaka's. Oh, I can't imagine how devastating this would be. How devastating it would be if Kawhi chose the Lakers.
What's going on, everybody? John Middlecoff. 3 and Out podcast brought to you by the Colin Cowherd Podcast Network. If you like Colin's show, you'll like mine. I talk all football. Coming up on this show, talking how NFL free agency was saved by trades. Drew Brees passes the torch to Zion. Who could become the next Zion of NFL quarterbacks? And the over-under for the AFC South. Again, 3 and Out podcast with me, John Middlecoff.
I think the Kemba Celtics move will be the next shoe to drop. I think you're going to hear a lot of rumors. I would not be surprised again. Chris Haynes told me yesterday he left the set and said something's going to break in 20 minutes. And sure enough, it did. There was a feeling today more news could break. I want to start our second hour with this. Is, you know, we pay a lot of attention. We watch sports. And we can see almost, we think, everything. We can see the size of players, the speed. We can see the anger. We can see the joy. We can see the skill, and we can see the talent. Now, there's one thing we can't see, and that's the game plan, the playbook. But the other thing we can't see, but it shows itself over time, is mental toughness. And this is what really separates great from legend, good from very good. The ability for LeBron James and Tom Brady for 15 years to get rid of the noise, to be motivated by criticism, not beaten down by it, to not listen to external noise. They keep it very tight. LeBron and Tom Brady, family, and then there's business. It's a very simple life. LeBron always jokes. He's on his, you know, his inflatable raft in his pool, contemplating things. It's basketball. It's family for both LeBron and Tom Brady. They have businesses, but those businesses, again, there's an uber focus. And that's what I think separates LeBron from Kevin Durant, is that think about this morning, what is happening according to reports. LeBron, once again, is recruiting stars to join him, regardless of what people say, and Kevin Durant is running from stars because of what people say. Burner account, Kevin, seeking validation, Kevin, upset because of a small market newspaper headline, Mr. Unreliable, Kevin. This is the difference. It's not just in talent. Kevin Durant is a greater natural offensive player than LeBron. He is. He's a better shooter. We've never seen Kevin Durant, a 7'1" guy who shoots like that. Dirk Nowitzki's a little like him, but he's far more athletic, better defensively. And I think this separates it. This is what I think separates Tom Brady from a lot of other really talented guys. I think it's what separates LeBron from really smart guys. Remember, when Magic unraveled, he didn't unravel physically. He first unraveled mentally. This was the strength of Derek Jeter. He didn't have prolonged slumps. He didn't need a therapist. A-Rod was more talented. But the emotional discipline of Derek Jeter is why he's a legend. And this morning, I mean, can you imagine Tom Brady doing what Kevin Durant's doing and saying, you know, I want to prove I can do it without Belichick. I'll sign with the Detroit Lions. You would laugh him off the planet. You would say that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard of. And I think I really do believe this is the difference with LeBron and KD. For 15 years, LeBron's been the king and KD's been second. And I said this year, for the first time ever, I felt Kevin jumped ahead of him. And, 9 months later, after I said that, Kevin's running from the best staff in the league. The best combination of owner, coach, GM, talent. And LeBron, once again, is doing what he does. He doesn't care what you say. He's going to join forces and recruit a bunch of great players. And it's just crazy. It is. I think the Kevin Durant, if he goes to the Knicks, is one of the craziest things I've ever seen in sports. And I am for, you know me, I supported Kevin Durant. I am for player mobility. You don't go to a terrible owner and a terrible roster. That's just not smart. That's Brady going to the Lions. That's not smart. And I think Kevin Durant is smart. But smart people make bad decisions. I think this is interesting. It's not getting a lot of play. And I'm not generally somebody who cares about uniforms and numbers. I don't. I'm into data. I'm boring. I'm kind of a dork. I like all this stuff with data and analysis. And I'm nerdy with football. But LeBron James is giving Anthony Davis his number 23 jersey. And I think it's the right thing to do. And again, it shows just LeBron's willingness to adapt to bring talent in. But I like LeBron going back to number 6 because I think LeBron owns 6. And I think very few players own a number. When I think of number 2, the only player I think of is Derek Jeter. When I think of number 3, the only athlete I think of is Dale Earnhardt. That's it. When I think of number 4, I think of Brett Favre. When I think of number 5, I think of the greatest baseball player, catcher I've ever seen. I think of Johnny Bench. And when I think of number 6, I think of LeBron James. Colin, what about Tom Brady at number 12? I don't think of Tom Brady at 12 because I grew up with Joe Namath and I grew up with Terry Bradshaw. So it gets diluted. Well, what about 7? Well, 7 is Joe Theismann to me. To somebody that's 60, it's Mickey Mantle. To other people, it's John Elway. I don't think any one of those owns the number. What about number 8? Well, yes, there's Kobe Bryant. But you know who I think of number 8? I think of Troy Aikman. I think of Steve Young. That there's very few numbers that athletes own. And I think LeBron is, in my mind, he's 6. And I don't think it's the end of the world, but it is special. Michael Jordan is 23. That's all I think of. It doesn't matter that LeBron wore it. It doesn't matter. Michael's 23. And I think it's part of his brand, part of what makes him special. I don't think Derek Jeter is the greatest baseball player I've ever seen, but God, he's the 2. He is the captain, and he's number 2. And so Joy and I were talking about this morning. You think all great players connect to a jersey individually, and they don't. You give me a number, and I'll tell. So Joy has a series of numbers. And I may whiff on some of these because I generally don't memorize. But you give me a number, and I'll tell you the first person I think of.
Well, Wade is number 3.
See, so to you, you're a D. Wade. It's a
right.
Miami girl.
But I'm fully with you on LeBron in 6. I never liked him wearing 23.
Neither did I.
I felt like for the level of what LeBron is, he needed his number. And also, obviously, you know, he won his championships in Miami wearing 6.
Yeah.
So number 7, you said Joe Theismann. I think of Michael Vick.
Okay, there you go. See, that's generational.
But
that's
you don't think of Tom Brady when you think of number 12.
First thing I think of is Joe Namath. I think of Joe in the Jets jersey. Again, that's when I started loving sports. So here I am in the 70s. I'm like an 8, 9, 10-year-old kid. This is when I'm getting into sports. Joe Namath was, and then after Joe, in the mid to late 70s, it was Terry Bradshaw. And I also think Aaron Rodgers jumps out to me as a 12.
Yeah, yeah. So number 13, who do you think of?
Wilt Chamberlain.
Dan Marino.
See, again, my... That's funny. So the first great player I ever saw on television, the first football game I watched was the 72 Super Bowl. So 1972, I was 8 years old. That's when I started watching sports on TV. Wilt wore the headband for the Lakers, and it was a CBS game with Brent Musburger doing the play-by-play on CBS.
Wow.
Wilt Chamberlain, in my mind, is 13.
Number 21. I think of Deion Sanders.
I don't have one. I don't have, so you have Deion.
There's a lot.
Okay, I don't have a 21.
Tim Duncan, Deion Sanders, Ezekiel Elliott.
It's a blur
to me. Kevin Garnett.
It's a bunch of
guys.
Roberto
Clemente.
Yep.
Number 24.
Ken Griffey Jr.
Kobe.
Okay. So again, I'm a kid from Seattle. He was the kid. I mean, when you were a Mariner fan, they draft him. He goes through. I mean, Mariners when I was, we didn't have baseball forever. So Ken Griffey to me is 24.
Number 32.
O.J. Simpson.
I can see that. I could see that. I mean, I think of Magic.
Yeah, no, and I think, for the record, anybody, virtually everybody under 50 thinks Magic. But I think of O.J. Simpson.
But I can understand O.J. Like, I feel like that's a shared number there. Number 33.
Kareem.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, now, Larry Bird wore 33.
Yeah.
But I don't, that doesn't jump out to me. I think of, see, again, I think of the Skyhook. When I was young, Kareem after Wilt was the first dominating NBA unstoppable player. And I used to mimic him as a kid in the driveway doing the skyhook.
How'd that go?
I was okay. I would beat my friends, yes.
What about 34?
Shaq.
I think Walter Payton.
All right. Okay. But see, he was on a lot of bad teams. So the teams I loved in the 70s were the Steelers, the Raiders, the Redskins, Roger Staubach, Cowboys. So Walter was on terrible Bear teams. So even though he was, I remember the numbers on players who were in the biggest moments.
Right.
And the Bears were never in big games.
What about 88?
Michael Irvin.
I agree. I think that's one of those numbers that he
first of all, he was a star.
Right.
The team was awesome. They won a bunch of championships.
I mean, it's the Cowboys. It's just, it's iconic.
Yeah, Michael owns 88.
All right, number 99.
So that's Sam, producer, loves hockey.
You got to answer this correctly or this could change our relationship.
Everybody's going to say Gretzky. Who do you think it is?
Jason Taylor.
Oh, your brother.
Yes, he failed that miserably.
I was so busy looking at his handsome face, I didn't even know what number he was.
He wore a helmet.
He did a Neutrogena commercial.
He was the face of Neutrogena for a while.
You had a brother who was a model who tackled people.
Yeah, he also did a calendar once.
Oh, boy.
a long time ago.
Oh, brother.
Yeah. So, I've joked with him a lot about that.
So this goes back to, I like LeBron at six.
I do too.
I think when you're that great, you got to own your number. And it's amazing to me how many great players don't. And I say that as a Brady fan. I think Tom Brady probably, as a kid growing up, he thinks of other 12s.
I think over time you can ascend into that number. Like, I think Brady has passed into that number, especially if you look at like the jersey sales every year. He's always at the top. Like, I think he has taken over 12, even though there are great quarterbacks that are still in the league now. I mean, Luck and Rodgers, as you said, that wear 12, but I'm so with you on six. I think it's a great move.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
NBA reporters work all year to cover the NBA, but really the next 5 days are the most competitive. Everybody wants the story. It's a lot of fun. I've said this before. The NFL is the sport we watch and bet. The NBA is the sport we talk about. And much like international soccer, it is star-driven, merchandise-propelling, and Chris Mannix, Sports Illustrated senior writer, covered the NBA for 15 years. All right, Chris, it's going to be a very interesting next 3 to 4 days. I imagine we'll start seeing rumors by tomorrow. Let's start with Kemba to the Celtics. I think it's a great fit. Do you think it happens?
I think there's a good chance it happens. I think what happened with the Lakers and their ability to clear cap space, you know, presents Kemba with another option, a realistic option, now that we know they can get close to that max contract number. From talking to other teams that have been in the Kemba Walker sweepstakes, they're not operating like it's over. Like, they have not been given kind of a head nod or whatever about the situation with Boston. I think that there's still some wiggle room here where Kemba, you know, doesn't wind up with the Celtics. As far as the fit goes, I think it's a great fit. I mean, Kemba's not the talent that Kyrie Irving is, but he's just a cut below, and I think a far better fit for that locker room than Kyrie was. I think when you factor in all the toxicity of last year and everything that went into it, you know, getting Kemba Walker and flipping him for Kyrie Irving is a huge win.
Yeah, and you still have Jason Tatum, who's growing as a player, and Jaylen Brown, and a good GM that'll make moves. How surprised are you that the Clippers have been going after Kawhi all year? The Lakers now have gone after him for an hour since they developed cap space. Are you surprised the Lakers got a meeting?
No, you know, if that's how it plays out, and again, I've been told specifically what Kawhi is going to do and who he's going to sit with, you know, come July 1st or June 30th, whatever. But I'm not surprised just because of what's on the table. And, you know, when you have LeBron and Anthony Davis, you warrant at least a meeting. Now, if it turns out that Kawhi Leonard chooses the Lakers over the Clippers, that's a pretty devastating blow for L.A. because they've done just about everything possible within league rules and some might argue outside of them to recruit Kawhi Leonard, to let it be known that he was their top choice. They quite literally sent a representative to virtually every one of Kawhi Leonard's games this year in a way just to show him with a picture of, or an image of somebody there with a Clipper jersey on or a Clipper a polo shirt on, that they were interested. And they've done a lot of shadow recruiting of this guy. They've got a good team. They've got a great infrastructure in that front office. And they've got a elite level coach who relates well to players. If they wind up losing out to the Lakers, who, like you said, have really only been realistic for Kawhi for about an hour, that would be a pretty big blow for L.A.
You know, the Lakers cleared cap space. They're, of course, saying they knew what they were doing all along. Critics like me say it feels like they bailed water to get there. Do we know now about the language of the contract? I mean, in the end, the Lakers can say, you know, we got our space. Now, the downside is they have nobody else. I mean, they got three players. In hindsight now, what do you think happened?
I don't think they knew what they were doing all along. That's been my read of the situation, that the machinations of it, some of the details were glossed over a little bit when it came to this. One thing I remember about the Lakers is that, you know, they don't have a front office deep in experience. Like, there's not a lot of guys that have been longtime front office workers who have been involved in complicated deals working for them. I mean, you contrast that with the Clippers, who have, you know, not only Lawrence Frank, who's running things, but Trent Redden is there, Michael Winger is there. I mean, these are high-level NBA executives, not to mention Doc Rivers has ostensibly been an NBA executive for a while in the dual role he had for multiple years. So I do think they missed out on a couple things. All credit to them to recover, Colin, because, you know, I had reported early in the week that there really wasn't a lot of interest in, you know, these Lakers, you know, quote unquote assets, or whatever you want to call the players they pawned off on the Wizards. And because they didn't have a lot in the way of draft considerations, I didn't know how they were going to get a deal done, but the Wizards clearly had some interest in one or two of those guys. It was sweetened with a second round pick, and now they have an opportunity, at the very least, to eventually get a third star.
There is a report that the Lakers will go after Kawhi, and if they don't land him, their second option is fill the roster out. Give me some idea of, you know, I've you know, throw names out like Darren Collison or J.J. Redick. Is there if it's just LeBron, A.D. Kuzma, and a bunch of guys, can you give me a couple names on the bunch of guys who would fill it out, in your opinion?
Yeah, look, first of all, I think that's, if that's the way they go, it's 100% the right move.
Yeah.
Because you make a play for Kawhi Leonard. He's going to be 28 in September. You know, you can have a Kawhi-Anthony Davis core for the next 5-6 years, if not longer, and build the roster out from there. But after that, you know, championships are won with a great team, not necessarily great players. And I'm not sure that Kemba Walker is worth, you know, the cost of multiple players, or Kyrie Irving is worth the cost of multiple players. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see how fast things move on June 30th. I mean, some of the role players, I think, are going to come off the board pretty quickly. I think Patrick Beverley comes off the board pretty quickly at a big number. I think Malcolm Brogdon is going to get a huge offer sheet in his first days out there. So then if you're the Lakers, you're kind of looking at some of the unrestricted role players, like the guys you mentioned. I'd put Danny Green in that mix as someone that could be a good candidate. Great locker room guy, selfless, has won championships, can make open jump shots at a championship level. He's someone they would consider. If they need to get another big man, I mean, Robin Lopez is out there, you know, not a floor spacer, but a hard-working guy that can balance out. And we've seen over the years, Colin, that Anthony Davis has benefited at different times during his career having a big body play alongside. Those are two names, but I think the Lakers are going to have to let the dust settle a little bit in the first couple of days before they scoop up some of these role players.
By the way, if KD does decide, regardless of his destination, so you're Bob Myers and Steve Kerr, KD announces he's leaving, you max Klay Thompson, and then what do you do? Like, what is the plan B, in your opinion? If everything, I wouldn't leave, but if he leaves, regardless of the destination, what does the current NBA dynasty do?
Yeah, I don't want to call it like a developmental year, but maybe it is, you know, for that team, because you're just going to have Steph and a bunch of other guys, you know, Klay not back until probably March at the earliest, and even then, who knows? We've seen in lost years, they might just say, Klay, take the year off. I mean, unless something is working for them at that time when he's healthy. You know, there are some free agents out there, some younger guys that maybe you take a flyer on and see if you can develop at a low number, a Stanley Johnson type out of Detroit, or somebody. I'm struggling to think of the names now, but the younger guys out there that maybe you can take a flyer on now in a short-term multi-year deal, and then next year when you get Klay back, you can have some of that depth you were lacking over the last year or so.
Yeah, see, that makes sense to me.
It's if you do it that way, you at least position yourself to be a player in 2020, because it's now going to be all about, I expect Durant to go. I mean, anyone that says they knows what Kevin Durant is thinking, I think is just lying, because at this point he's an odd guy to read. But if he does leave, it becomes all about Klay and Steph, and you want to find the best players for the next 3 years who can play alongside Klay and Steph, and that's what I think this next year should be about.
Finally, Chris Mannix, covering the NBA since 2003, friend of the show. Every year, there's a shocker, or at least every other year, that's we all kind of go, wow. And that's what makes this soap opera so much fun. I kind of think Jimmy Butler's that guy. I wouldn't be shocked if he ended up, if Kawhi Leonard's like, listen, I don't want to be just the guy. I just did that. And Kawhi's like, bring another guy in. I kind of feel I know where Al Horford's going, but could he be a shocker? Jimmy Butler, Horford, could they potentially shock us?
Yeah, I mean, look, Jimmy Butler has always been about the money, and I'm of the belief that as long as the Sixers come to the table with something in the 5-year range, that he's going to stay.
Yeah,
because the way I've been told they're thinking Philadelphia, it's logical. They've just given up too much to go get him. And the same thing with Tobias Harris. They can't allow money to get in the way of all this. Horford, I think, is going to be interesting. I don't know if, you know, there's a lot of talk about Horford having a 4-year, you know, max on the table. I don't know if that's true, but I know there's 4 or 5 teams that are eager to give Al Horford a 4-year contract that's going to well exceed anything Boston was willing to give him. So I think he could be that second star that teams look at and say, all right, we got Kawhi, or we got Kevin Durant, or we got even Kyrie Irving. Let's bring in Al Horford, because at least we know out of Al, who's been remarkably consistent over the last, you know, 4 or 5 years of his career. You know what you're going to get.
By the way, if Kyrie does go to the Nets, maybe the wild card is D'Angelo Russell. Now, we're hearing today Lakers have reservations about giving him the $27 million they could give him. They have $32 million in cap. They could pay him $27.2. You know, he is immature. LeBron tends to like veterans and mature guys that he trusts. Could he be a wild card and end up finally Andrew Wiggins and Karl Anthony Towns get a guard? Because D'Angelo, to me, wouldn't turn down, you know, a big max deal. Could he be a wild card?
He could. And Minnesota, as you mentioned there, they like him a lot.
Yes.
As adding him to that young core. But there's, you know, for some of the reasons you just mentioned there, there's some skepticism around the league about what exactly D'Angelo Russell's going to be. In other words, there's skepticism that this is kind of the arc that he's going to continue going on. All-star this year, all-NBA next year. You know, they did a lot to kind of coax all this out of D'Angelo Russell in Brooklyn. I mean, Kenny Atkinson and that organization, I mean, they really rebuilt him over the last couple of years. And, you know, he can, you know, be kind of difficult to deal with himself. He shoots a lot of those floaters, which he made a lot of in this past year. I watched a lot of Nets games living in the Northeast. I mean, I think he's certainly on the path to being a full-time starter and a top half of the league starter, but is he a consistent all-star in this league? And that's something I think there's still a number of teams that have reservations about.
Yeah, it's funny about the T-Wolves, Chris. I was saying this the other day. They've been selling me Karl Anthony Towns and Wiggins for like 4 years. They've been selling their fans on that. And I know that ownership group is like, all right, We got to make the playoffs. I actually think D'Angelo Russell for them is a really good fit. You can't keep selling the same thing. Like the Celtics have rebuilt, but they've won playoff series. I mean, Minnesota's not getting into the playoffs, and Denver's young, and Portland will be better. I think D'Angelo, and I'm with you on this. I watched him implode in Los Angeles. I don't know what he is. I really do not have a. By the way, I had a month ago. The only thing I've said on the air I believe to be true. I had an NBA player in the NBA currently and a former NBA All-Star tell me they were told Kyrie has told people he's going to Brooklyn. That's the one thing I believe. Do you have one you feel strongest about this second?
Ah, man. You know, Klay Thompson going back to the Warriors.
That's cheating. I
mean, it is cheating, but it's one of the more, and you know, it's a cop-out, but even when you talk to agents and talk to different executives, there's a lot of fluidity to what's going on now. And once the dominoes start to fall, you'll probably immediately get some clarity there. But right now, there's just a lot of moving parts out there. But I agree with you, just to turn it back to Russell. I agree with you on Russell because you put him in that team, they've got a terrific developmental coach. Like, don't let anyone ever say that Ryan Saunders is there because his last name is Saunders. If he didn't have this job, like Miami, Philadelphia, the Lakers, they were lining up to give him a high-level assistant job. I think you give Ryan a full training camp and not the aborted mess that last season was at the start of the year with this group. I think that Minnesota team could surprise them, and Russell looks like a pretty good fit with that group.
Good talking to you, buddy. Have an eventful and hopefully successful prediction weekend.
I'll do what I can, Colin.